Hey, y'all. Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. This is Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker.
And thanks for joining us for another episode. This is episode number 10. We're now in double digits.
Number 10. It's going to be amazing.
And as you just heard, we now finally have intro, and in a little bit, you'll hear outro music.
Right. There may have been a little dancing going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we won't talk about that, the things that are happening here in the studio here at Prototype Prime. But the music, by the way, was made by Lee Cromarty. I'm going to have to look up the spelling.
Hold on. You have to link him in the show notes here.
There you go. That's what we'll do.
Yeah. We link in the show notes.
Thanks for the custom music. Thanks, Lee. We found him through Upwork.com, and he's a freelancer and did our music for us.
I appreciate that. All right. So quick announcements, and then in this episode. So what's coming up, man?
So quick announcements. We've got an event coming up on Wednesday here at Prototype Prime, a Refresh South event.
All right.
We've got Alan Grant, who used to be a local. He went to school at Georgia Tech. Graduated alumnus, went on and did a bunch of startups. And one of his bigger startups with a bunch of co-founders is Hired.com. Hired, do you know how much Hired has raised?
A ton.
$113 million dollars
just
in
a half
funding.
Ton. Okay,
yeah,
got
it's
it.
An half amazing ton. Amount.
Right.
So Alan is going to be with us on Wednesday evening to talk. And for Tech Talk Y'all listeners, if you go and register right now, right as you're listening. Well, if you're in the car, don't register right now.
Don't do it while you're driving.
Don't do that.
In traffic. No,
and use the code Tech Talk Y'all. Now, you got to spell it right. So y'all is Y apostrophe A-L-L.
He's a stickler for spelling,
exactly.
Folks.
Well, if you
I'm
don't spell it right, it's not gonna accept the code, and you're not going to get the $5 off.
That's right.
So then for you only, Tech Talk Y'all listeners, it'll be
$5. That's awesome.
I feel like I should do like $5 discount. Or I don't know.
I would love for you to do that.
Yeah,
let's make
that.
A jingle right now.
Let's not do that.
Okay.
No.
So, hey, in this episode, we got some really interesting stuff coming up. For one thing, we're going to talk about some cool upcoming technology that you should be on the lookout for. Also, an update on the Warby Parker app that we talked about on our last episode that I think you might find fascinating. Stuff.
I actually find it hilarious.
I found it fascinating and hilarious and impressive. So we're going to talk about that stuff from Apple's announcements within the last week. There's a couple interesting tidbits that you may not know about there. Also, mysterious printer codes that print on your paper microscopically that track you. MIT has some robot furniture that you might want to buy for $10,000. And blood from the sky is our final deal.
Which the is zombie gonna be apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse blood from the sky technology is going to be amazing. So. To start out, we've got some interesting technology, Sanjay, that you tagged. You want to talk about?
So yeah.
What's the first thing
some
here?
Of this stuff is neat. So Arsenal, it's I think it's on Kickstarter right now.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's a little add-on device for your camera,
your DSLR camera,
for your DSLR camera,
right?
And it'll figure out all of the settings to make that picture perfect.
So it makes you basically like a legit photographer without having to know all the crap that you have to know to be a legit photographer.
Exactly. So
me.
I mean, honestly, I have got a DSLR. I've got a 5D Mark II.
Right.
So a little old now. It's a hefty camera. I don't know how many megapixels. 26, 28,
5
something.
Million. Yeah.
It's a bajillion.
Right. Got it.
And I got to tell you, that thing is awesome. I take pictures with that thing, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it is incredible.
But imagine
and
what
I can't even
like
imagine.
Now.
Yeah. This will like actually use the camera settings the way they're supposed to be used and make it look really, really good.
And you just like attach it to the top of the camera. It attaches to like a flash to your camera, really. And then it detects all these settings on your phone. And then I guess it somehow magically does something. And you're like basically a photo genius.
Exactly.
At that point.
And so they were looking to raise $50,000 as of right now when we're recording this. They're at $1.07 million.
That's insane.
$1 million.
So
the thing I worry about though, is if they can actually deliver it. I've seen so many of these Kickstarters
that they don't deliver, man.
That they don't deliver it. They like, we're going to do it, and everything falls apart.
Hey, listen, that happens frequently. So speaking of, another one you tagged is the Fuse card, which is an Indiegogo campaign, but there was a Kickstarter that we just talked about on a few episodes back of a card just like this that failed miserably and went bankrupt.
Yeah, was that coin that we talked about, or was it another one?
I don't remember which one it was, to be honest. I should have looked that up.
There's a handful of them that have done this to do this.
So this Fuse card, so it's the whole store three cards in one, so that you only have to carry one credit card, but you're carrying three cards, right?
Right.
It's an Indiegogo campaign, and Will it be? I don't know. Is it going to be successful?
Yeah, I don't know. And they're actually trying to go one step further with doing, because now if you just have the mag stripe, that's not going to be useful, especially if you go to Europe and some places where require the chip.
Yeah.
And so they're going to actually have a chip that changes, which I don't really understand, because it
seems like that's completely against the idea of the chip.
Exactly.
Really.
I don't really get how that's going to work. So to me, this is another one that's kind of on the bubble.
Yeah.
Like, if you put money into this, it's like, well,
you may never get it back. It was like $65 too. It wasn't a cheap Indiegogo campaign.
The one thing I did like, though, the way that they are designing this card is it's rechargeable. That was the problem I had with one of the other cards that we talked about before, was it was a built-in battery, and then when the battery went out, it's time to buy a new
card. I did not realize that. Yeah. That seems insane to me.
Yeah, not a fan of that.
Yeah, why would you do that? That's good to know. So another one... This is my favorite one that you found this week.
Yeah.
The light phone.
The light phone.
I love this concept.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
So what this is basically a phone.
That's like a phone. That's all it is.
It doesn't do anything else.
It's just a phone.
It's a lightweight phone that you can call up to 9 or 10 numbers in memory, or you can actually punch out a phone number. You cannot do texting. You cannot do data stuff. You cannot read email. You cannot do, but it's super, super lightweight.
And it's your number, right?
And it's your phone number.
It's your phone number.
Yeah.
It's like a second phone.
Second phone for your phone number. Yeah. And so if you're going out to an event and you know, look, I don't want to carry this big bulky thing. I just want a lightweight, very discreet phone. But I do still need a phone.
Yeah.
You can take this thing with you instead.
Yeah.
And be on your way.
Or I don't want all the alerts. I don't want to deal with all the craziness of a smartphone, of the computer in my pocket.
Yep.
So let me just have this phone with me in case I actually need to make an emergency phone. Like, it's a phone that's like, I don't know, a phone.
Exactly.
It's a phone.
It's an actual phone. Yeah.
Imagine that. I'm dumbfounded by the fact that a phone is a phone. Like, that's it.
I mean, it almost seems like, man, should this be something that is marketed to parents to give to kids?
Yes.
Like, okay, you get to have a phone.
Yes.
And that's all you get to do.
They can take it with me. It could be my phone number. It's my kid. Like, just take it with you. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Here you go. You can't get on the internet. You can't surf. You can't text. It's just a phone. Call me.
And you know, people have tried this before. Disney, I think, had a phone a while ago. I don't know where it went, if it's still around, but I don't think it had great success. But this thing, first of all, it's well designed.
It is well designed.
And I think the use cases are there. I think, you know, a great group of folks that would probably want this is women that are going out for events and things like that. You know, like my wife always like, oh, the purse, it's too big, it's too small, I can't get my phone in there, and this, that, and the other.
If they're going to carry like a clutch, like I know what that is, you know, like they can, you know, whatever that is, they can carry it with them in the clutch, you know, whatever.
There you go.
So, this just became a fashion podcast, I think.
I think so. Yeah, there you go. Hosted by two unfashionable people.
Listen, I don't know what you're talking about, man. So another really interesting phone-related thing is the creator of Android.
I think he's actually the co-creator.
Okay,
I started reading about that.
The co-creator of Android is creating what he calls an essential phone. And it is a phone that is, I mean, basically he's saying, look, there's a duopoly. I don't know, whatever.
Duopoly.
There's an it's iPhone and Samsung. They dominate the smartphone
pretty
market
much,
over everybody else. And he wants to kill that.
Yep.
And he's creating a phone that looks pretty spectacular, I got to say.
Yeah.
And it's built his own operating system. And it even talked about
article. No. He's using pure Android.
No, it built its own operating system, I'm pretty sure.
Is it its own too?
And he actually talked in the article about how he wants to figure out a way to integrate with all of the different operating systems to actually make everything collaborative and work together. Because right now, you know, if you're Apple and you're in the Apple ecosystem, it all works together. If you're Android and you're in the Android ecosystem, it all works together, but it doesn't really work together really well across.
You're absolutely right. I just looked at the article. It's
built a whole new OS. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So it looks promising, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because
so
I like the idea.
Yeah, so the challenge is, do you want to be, and I think this is true with all of these things, do you want to be an early adopter on the edge and worry about having the thing maybe not work, having it fail? Like Amazon Fire Phone, we had one.
Oh, I got one.
It's a great phone.
It's a great piece of equipment.
Yeah.
the thing about all of the Fire stuff is the operating system is just it's buggy and lacking.
Now, but the Fire Phone, you know, it's been abandoned. So now there's no OS updates or anything else. And it's like, okay, I got
out the door.
phone that's maybe good for another, you know, few months, and then it's so out of date that it doesn't matter.
Paperweight.
Yeah.
It's a paperweight. Yeah.
Well, we've actually kept ours to use as an emergency backup phone.
Oh, okay.
If any of our phones die, we just move our SIM to there and then use that until we get a until we get a new phone.
I love that. Okay. So so now it's time for the update on the Warby Parker app. So I got an interesting communication. I was basically tracked down by a PR representative claiming to represent Warby Parker. Now, I did not verify whether or not this person actually represents Warby Parker. So let me preface and say that.
But who would
pretend? Who would track me down? Yeah. Like, why would they fake that, right?
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
They basically tracked me down and said, hey, listen, I heard the podcast. I found you online. And I want to clarify a few things that you said. So I do want to honor that. And I would like to clarify a few things that we said. So first of all, right now the app is in test mode. So right now it's a super limited audience, super limited location, but ultimately they want to expand to old people like you. I think you.
Hey! They mentioned that.
I'm just kidding. And they even said their ultimate goal is for customers to long term be able to get new prescriptions through a smartphone app, which I thought was really interesting. And then they also mentioned in there that there are a few states that have passed legislation banning ocular telemedicine, and Georgia is one of those states, which I thought was fascinating. So all that to say is that this seems to be the first step in a long play that they're trying to make getting prescriptions for eyeglasses much, much easier long term. So I got to respect them. Number one, that they're listening to people talking about their product.
Right.
Number two, that they are actually forward thinking and really pushing the limit in this. And you know, I'm pretty impressed that they reached out to little ol' us about that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I think that's the most impressive part, and probably the lesson that folks should take away from this if they're running a startup, is that you should be paying attention when people talk about you. And it doesn't matter how big their audience is or how small. If somebody's
huge
talking about
like
you,
us or small, like, I don't know. Yeah.
So you should engage with those people. And if they do say things incorrectly or wrongly, which is pretty much everything that we do on this podcast,
is incorrect.
You should tell us or tell them.
Right.
But I think it's fascinating. And I don't think you need to have as big of a marketing staff as Warby Parker, which I'm assuming their marketing staff is huge. To do this kind of stuff. There's ways of using...
We've got some listeners out there, basically. I mean, just things that are listening to internet traffic. And I think Warby Parker made it into the title of the podcast episode, which definitely helped a lot. Let's make sure this happens again, right?
Yep.
But it was good. I'm very impressed with the fact that they did that.
Yeah,
that
super really well props done. For that.
Yeah, impressed. So speaking of being impressed, Apple rolled out a whole bunch of stuff. And honestly, most of you probably read about it or heard about it in some kind of peripheral fashion. So I really don't want to go over and belabor all of that. But what I did want to point out was the thing in iOS 11 that I'm actually particularly excited about. So actually two things that I'm particularly excited about. One is they've created a do not disturb while driving mute to your notifications. And so, you know, one of the things I hate is while I'm driving, you know, I've already turned off almost all the notifications on my phone. I hate push notifications. I don't want to know when I get an email. I don't want to know any of these apps.
You mean for just day-to-day, everyday living?
I don't want push notifications.
Okay.
I get push notifications for text messages and Slack, and I think that's almost it.
Okay.
But when I'm driving...
So that's why you never respond to my DMs on Twitter.
That's probably why, right? So, but while I'm driving, I still don't even want those I don't want my pocket vibrating at all. I don't want to be in any way distracted while I'm driving.
Right.
And so they're trying to fix that problem and make it so that while you're driving, you're not getting any of those notifications, which I think is really, really smart.
Yeah, that is good. So is this something that you have to enable on your own?
I assume. Yeah, we'll find out.
And so then I think the next step for them is there a way for you to enable it on your kids' phones so that they can't disable it?
Yeah, there's got to be. Because, I mean, there's got to be like a kids mode or something. I mean, it's got to come down the pipe one day, right?
I mean, maybe you can put your age in there and, you know, if you're young.
If you're over 25, you're allowed to have notifications while driving. Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Over 30, maybe?
25 to like 55, you're allowed. Over 55, you're not. And under 25, you're not.
You just offended some people.
I'm sure I did, but yeah. I mean, come on. We do know. You're not as adept when you're young in terms of driving because you're a new driver. And when you get older, you don't process things as quickly. I mean, you do end up slowing down. I'm getting there. You know, it's coming.
You did say you're an old man, so you know, there's that.
I don't think I said that.
I think you implied it. I'm just saying. Anyway, so I thought that was fun. The other thing that I thought was really great was that Apple Maps is going to have maps of indoor spaces, including airport layouts. And so I've been traveling a lot more lately. And when I'm at the airport, it's really
frustrating.
And you've been
traveling for?
I've been traveling for 48 and 48. So 48 and 48 is a nonprofit I've co-founded that where we build 48 websites for 48 nonprofits in 48 hours in various cities around the globe long term. And so go check it out.
Right now, just in the U.S.
Right now in the U.S., but we're going to go to London in 2018. So it's going to be great.
Oh, kick ass. Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
So I've been in airports more lately, and I'm there and I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. I want to know where I can have breakfast, and you can't find a map anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like I can roam around, and then I end up searching awkwardly on the internet, these really terrible sites. And so finally Apple Maps will have an indoor map. So I'm excited
so,
about
so,
that.
So does Google Maps not do that?
I've never tried. One of our listeners needs to let me know. How about that?
Okay.
Somebody tweet at me and let me know if Google Maps can tell me where to eat at the airport. That's what I want to
so,
know.
So here's the one up that Google Maps is doing. They are now going to start, you know, the whole street view thing.
Yep.
So you can like go and see what a building looks like before you get there. So you go to the right one. Well, they've realized that they need more coverage in wilderness. So to get that coverage, they're going to start strapping cameras onto elephants and camels.
But there's no elephants and camels in the North Georgia wilderness, man. What are they going to strap on it in North Georgia?
This is for places like Africa, right?
Okay.
So you're going to
get elephants and camels.
Elephants and camels.
So instead of like the Google cars with the thing above it, you're going to see an elephant
with the
hat
thing above
on
it.
And the thing above it, right? Is that what you're telling me? I want a picture of that elephant with the hat on and the Google camera above it. That's what I want a picture
of. Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be amazing.
How pissed is the camel going to be?
Yeah.
You know, they spit at you and stuff, right?
Camels are mean little
bite,
dudes, man.
Right?
You gotta watch those bad boys.
I wonder how much the person's getting paid to put that machinery on the camel.
Listen, man, you just gotta get paid a lot
and then
run.
Do you have to have the two hump camel to do that because you put it in the middle of the two humps?
No, I think you put it on top of one of the humps for sure.
Put it on top of one of the humps.
That's the only way to go.
Okay.
You just need the one hump.
I need a picture of that.
So well, and then in North Georgia, I'm fascinated by how they would do that. So maybe like on some
llamas.
Llamas.
Don't they grow llamas up in North Georgia somewhere?
Grow llamas? I don't know if you
grow them. Grow
them? I don't know. So that's a fascinating
raise
idea.
Them?
Raise. I think raise is a good one. Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. So that was amazing.
And now we have no listeners because they're like, oh, we're done with
these
this.
These guys are idiots.
They're talking about camels, llamas, and elephants.
It's a totally awkward segue to the next thing, which is the mysterious printer code that allows people to track where something was printed. So tell me about this, Mr. Security-minded guy.
Yeah. So this is pretty crazy, and I didn't know anything about this.
Right.
So it only applies to color printers, so not your black and white printer. But basically what it is these printer manufacturers, and I think it goes back to when they first started coming out, and the government, probably the U.S. government, and then other world governments, were worried about people at home printing out currency.
Right.
So they
like
wanted.
Like we all do.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Got it.
Well, that's how I've made my money. How do you make your money? I don't know what you do, but so they were worried about this. So they wanted a way to track back to a certain printer.
Okay.
To be able to know that this printer has printed this thing, and then within the code, it tells you a lot of stuff. And what it tells you, actually, we don't know everything. It's just based on things that Electronic Frontier Foundation has been able to decode on their own.
Right.
But there is nothing published. You don't know anything. It's all secret agreements between these printer manufacturers and governments.
I love that.
Presumably there's some kind of payment that happens. Who knows?
Okay.
You know,
all right.
I mean, because why else would the printer companies do this?
So let me make sure I've got this. So you're telling me that in color printers, There are microscopic, like very, very small dots.
Very, very small dots
that are
printed.
Can't see from the naked eye that are printed
right
in a certain sequence that will allow someone that has the right technology or magnifying glass or whatever.
Microscope or whatever.
To decode it and tell them specifically which printer printed that particular document.
And not only necessarily just the printer, but also other things like the date and time it was printed and things like that. And who knows what else?
Oh, man.
Right? It might tell.
And like my hair color. Like it tells you, like,
oh,
Adam printed it and he had hair at that time. Is that okay? Maybe not.
So it never uses that setting for you? Is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
So that is kind of creepy.
It is, and you don't know what else is in there, right? It could tell you what kind of device you were using.
Right.
Is it a laptop, or is it Windows, or Mac,
yeah,
or Linux, or anything? Like, you don't know what's
in
there.
It's like Google Analytics for a physical sheet of paper.
So the belief is, exactly, so the belief is that this contractor that released this document, this is how she was caught.
Right.
But they don't tell you.
She printed it on some super secret printer that happened to have microscopic dots on it. And,
right. And then they said, oh, okay, who was using that printer at this time?
Right. That was you. Your ID. You're done.
Yeah.
Man,
exactly.
That is crazy. I don't even know how to.
So I think the recommendation here is if you don't want to get caught first, either A, use a black and white printer, or B, do a color print and then take it to previously Kinko's, I now guess FedEx office, and make a copy of it.
Yeah.
Because I think if you made a color copy of something, it should blur out those microscopic. I guess it depends on the resolution of the scan.
Listen, just don't print stuff you shouldn't be printing, and you're all good, right? Well, stop printing money.
Don't print money.
Stop faking your passports.
But
you know,
I think
people,
some of these things that they're leaking are maybe things that we should know.
Okay.
I land on the other side a little bit. I appreciate some of these people leaking stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see both sides of that. I'm not gonna weigh in on that one. So, but on something far less controversial,
you're worried about the NSA calling you, just like Warby Parker.
Warby Parker has already tracked me down. I don't need somebody else tracking me down, telling me what I'm doing wrong on my podcast. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm going to get a call, like somebody on the other phone. Is this Adam Warren?
There's a black car outside that you need to get into right now.
Get in that car. So this is really fascinating. So MIT has created furniture that transforms to basically save space to help you. But, you know, if you've got one of those tiny apartments, like a tiny New York apartment or something, it basically helps you to save space in that apartment. So it's got like a bed on one side, and then the bed can kind of mechanically slide underneath the,
it's pretty cool,
the dresser, and then it's got a desk. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the only thing that I don't think is cool, I mean, it's cool for the video,
right,
is the spontaneous dance party where the thing has lights and all this stuff.
Listen, man, that's the best part. You're missing the, that's the best part. Every, you,
that's
need,
best feature?
You need to always prepare for a spontaneous dance party.
Yeah.
There could at any time,
so here's the thing,
be a spontaneous dance
if
party.
If your place is so small that you need robotic furniture to move around so that you can have all of the features in that place.
Right.
You do not have the space for a dance party.
No,
why you go to the club.
That's where you're missing the magic.
That's why you're
friend.
Into
no,
club.
No, that's where you're missing the magic, because
that's why 50 Cent wrote that song, Into Club. You got to go down there.
That's the magic, though. The dance party in the tiny space that's the magic right there.
So you want a bunch of sweaty people up in your business, in your apartment.
No. That's the magic for somebody else. I got five kids, man. I go to dance parties. What are you talking about? What is a dance? I don't even know how to dance.
Neither do I.
Okay. I do know.
Although we did it during the intro song.
We're going to do it on the outro song, too. This isn't videotaped.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Everybody's glad about that.
So what's interesting about this furniture, too, is it's $10,000. And so I'm looking at it. I'm like, that's really cool. It's super clever. It's really well put together, and I'm pretty sure IKEA can duplicate this, make it non-mechanical, because right now it's like you push it, and it, like, surely it's going to be less than $10,000.
Well,
like,
if it's from IKEA, it definitely will be.
Oh, for sure. Like, you can do this.
Actually, that's a really great point.
Like, why can't you do this whole thing for $1,000?
I bet you inside of, like, 6 months to a year, IKEA has duplicated almost all this functionality.
Yeah. Why would you not?
And you just push it around. And then it's less stuff to go wrong, right? Like, the motor on this thing, if it goes down, your robotic furniture is now only one piece.
You're done.
It's whatever it ended at, and you don't get to use any of those.
Like the bed's like one quarter out, and you're like sleeping on a tiny sliver of a bed. Like
hopefully you still have access to the bathroom, because if it's...
That'd be super bad. Yeah. You know, if it gets stuck in front of the bathroom.
You got to go ask your neighbor to use their bathroom then.
That's just awkward. So, yeah. So that's... I like the idea. I think the price tag is a little much.
It might be. Depending on, you know, these people that live in these cities, they spend a lot on these little apartments.
True.
So you
that's
never
true.
Know.
All right. I don't know. So the last topic before we get to our app recommendations, which I'm excited about, is Blood from the Sky. So
zombies, zombie apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse, Blood from the Sky. So tell me about this. What's this about?
So this is, they've now started experimenting and trying to use drones to deliver human blood to remote locations that don't have blood storage, that need blood for transfusions and things like that. But not just blood, it's also drug delivery. So say you need antibiotics. And the main use case, the main place that they're trying to use this is in rural places in Africa and places like that.
Right.
But I could see it being used even in the U.S. Like if you look at a rural location that may not have all of the things, somebody comes in with some... You know, they're an O negative. I think it's O negative, and you have to have O negative,
the
universal donor, and only that recipient. And they come in from a car crash, and you need to transfuse, and you have none on hand. you could have somebody loaded up onto a little drone, and then you don't have to worry about traffic or anything else like that.
Yeah.
And so it's small, it's lightweight, and it's delivery of small amounts of stuff. But really, in this use case, it's really it's important. Life-saving.
Yeah. And so I thought this was really fascinating. So first of all, this is a plane drone, more like a plane, not a quadcopter. So it's less susceptible to bad weather, and it's got more range to it. And they drop it in this contraption that looks like a shoebox. It's red, which I think is awesome, right? Yep. That's good branding. It's red. And it also it's connected with plastic, a plastic parachute that's biodegradable. So the whole thing is biodegradable. So you can just discard it, no big deal. But it's got the blood in it that they need. So basically the plane starts kind of doing a loop around the drop site, and then it drops it in a big open area, presumably, and they just go grab it and use it, and then it just goes right back to home base.
There you go.
It's just brilliant. It's really
smart. Yeah. I mean, you know, for a long time we talked about these drones and like, oh, what are they going to be good for? And it's like, okay, this is a reason that they're
really good
for.
Use. Yeah, it's saving lives. Like that's an amazing use of technology. Yeah. I love that.
Exactly. I love it too.
I want to see more stuff like it. So, all right. So wrapping up our show today, we always do a segment about app recommendations. I've got one that also is gonna dovetail off to a little bit of a story that we'll share the link to. But what's your app recommendation first?
So my app recommendation is for the folks that are running businesses out there. I've switched over recently to Wave Apps.
Okay.
And I think Wave Apps. WaveApps.com.
Got it.
And basically, it's accounting software and it's free. So
nice.
Yeah. So you use this, you hook it into your bank account, your credit cards, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And it starts pulling in all the transactions. You can do invoicing through this too. And also, by the way, that's free.
Wow.
You can get paid by credit cards through their system. And it's competitive to Stripe. I think it's the same price point as Stripe.
Really?
And so then the nice thing about that then is that invoices you can set up and categorize those. And so when people pay you, those transactions automatically categorize. You don't have to do any of that stuff.
I love that.
I love it. You know, I was paying for QuickBooks before. This is free, so that's saving me like $300, $400 a year.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it's a lot easier to use. Now, it's not as fully functional as a QuickBooks or anything else like that. And there's things that they do in there to upsell you and say, hey, it looks like you could use this and you could use that. And that's fine. I don't mind that. But it's letting me do all this stuff very easily and for free. And there's also an app on your phone. So when you're out and you buy something, you can take a picture of a receipt.
Right.
And it'll automatically categorize that and it'll upload it for you so that if you ever get audited, you've got the receipt as well. So you can throw away the paper. Everything is good.
So on a previous episode, you mentioned if you don't pay for the product, you are the product.
Yeah, yeah. You are the product here. Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to upsell you. So absolutely. Maybe there's some monetization.
Absolutely.
Are there any other ways where you're concerned about being the product, your stuff being sold, or your maybe just your contact information, maybe not your bank account, but anything? Like, are there any concerns about that?
Yeah, well, I'm not worried about the bank account stuff because they are a U.S. company and there's lots of laws here about that. But the contact information, yeah, possibly. But, you know, it's the business contact information. So I'm not worried about that.
So it's fake.
Mostly, yeah. All right. But the upselling, like the using the credit card stuff, they're making some money on that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I have no problem with that.
I got that. Okay.
It's,
the processing fees.
For me, it's the same. And so if they're making money on me on that, and that's paying for the product that I get for free,
that works.
I'm good.
Yeah, it works. Okay, so my app recommendation. So there's an article I just happened to stumble across that's titled Political Activism. There's an app for that, and it's going bananas. And so basically, it's about this app, and the app is called Countable. And the Countable app is interesting because it's political news, and it basically will let you know what votes are coming up in your district by your Congress people, and it will even give you ways to reach out and contact your Congress people about that vote so you can let them know how you would like for them to vote. And so, and it also includes like this news component and all this other stuff. And basically the whole article is about how the app's going insane because of Trump, which I get, and I definitely don't want to talk about that on this podcast, but from a technology perspective, from an app perspective,
you don't want us to pivot from tech talk y'all to politics y'all?
Not at all. though I think there's a lot to say there, but it's just fascinating because I go into the app and it tells me about like different votes that are coming up that I had no idea about. And it lets me know what my representatives are voting, how they're voting.
Yep.
It allows me to weigh in on how I would like for them to vote. The app actually has a way that it supposedly contacts them, quote unquote, air quotes, contacts them, but maybe maybe it just gives them like an email. Hey, so many thousand people want you to do this or something in your district. But it also even gives me a phone number. Like, hey, call your representative today. And it gives me their phone number to call them.
Yep.
Presumably not their cell phone. But, you know, you get it's an interesting way to get engaged politically at a local level.
Yeah. So there's a number of these apps that have now cropped up as of the start of this year.
Yeah.
There's another one, ResistBot, that I know a local
person. I love that name.
Person. Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew Watson is on the team, volunteers with them.
Right.
He's tweeted out about it a couple
ResistBot.
Of times.
ResistBot. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I think it does the same kind of thing. And I think it's being funded by somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody that made money on Facebook, I think.
Yeah, this one's funded by quite a few people as well, too.
Yeah. So
it's a really well-done app.
It's all West Coast folks, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's great that there's more access and more information about what's going on that impacts us.
Well, what is interesting to me about this app is simply this. I have zero amount of interaction or knowledge about local politics happening that actually affect me. Zero.
Ditto.
And so if having this little bitty app gives me any kind of insight into what's really going on in my community, I think that's important. And I think we need to get engaged in this stuff. But we're so busy and there's so much other crazy stuff happening at a national level that we don't take the time for it. This is an easy way to sort of wade into those waters.
Yeah, and I think the pendulum has kind of swung back and forth, right? So I think if you look probably back 30, 40 years, I think people knew a lot more as to what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were a lot less busy, right? They didn't have little computers in their pockets and things like that and always connected and always getting tweets and, and texts and messages
they had light
and everything.
Phones, is what you're saying. They had light phones.
They had no phones.
They
had the no phone version.
The anti-phone era.
And so then they were more involved and read the newspaper and things like that. And we've moved away from that.
Yeah, we
and
miss I think, local.
Exactly. And so I think these apps are helping us come back to that a little bit.
I love that. So I think that's pretty much the end of our show. I do want to mention that you can find me on Twitter at AJ Walker. You can also find me on my blog at adamjwalker.com, where I blog about productivity and other kind of fun habit building stuff and hopefully things that are interesting. And where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Sanjay. That's S-A-N-J-A-Y. As always, I say I've got a blog, but I don't post to it. So you probably
it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen.
I've got a plan. Maybe later on this fall.
I'm going to goad you into it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Every 2 weeks.
Last thing, though, I want to say, if you like the episode, if you like the podcast, please rate us. Please give reviews and feedback. Please tweet at us on Twitter. Please share it with your friends and let them know that we're out here. We're doing this thing. It's fun. It's halfway entertaining. It's mildly dull. I don't know. Just let them know. And we'd really appreciate that.
You got to the end of the episode, so there was something here you liked.
Congratulations.
So tell somebody.
Tell somebody. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, y'all. We'll talk to y'all later.